This is Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret.
And I'm Veronica Rickert. When we think about life on Earth, it's easy to focus on the big stuff, the plants and animals that we can actually see. But an international scientific effort is looking to draw attention to the world under the microscope and the potential benefits microorganisms could bring us, from energy to food to health.
There's a lot of research going on in a variety of fields, and the recently proposed Unified Microbiome Initiative would try to bring scientists together to share ideas, research, and innovations. Our next guest is a Wisconsin researcher who joined in this call for our global initiative. Tim Donahue is in the studio with us now. He's a professor of bacteriology and director of the Great Lakes Bioenergy Research Center at UW-Madison. Tim, thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
Well, we'll get into some of the benefits of this research in a moment. But at first, a stupid, huge question that you could probably take 3 hours to answer. What do microorganisms already do for us?
Well, so in a very simple statement, we would not be here if it wasn't for microorganisms. They create the oxygen that we breathe. We can see them if we go out to the national parks and you see red stripes in the mountains. Those are iron deposits that were made millions or billions of years ago by microbial activity. They're responsible for the health and the vitality of the plants that we depend on for food. You are not a germ-free individual, although we tend to think about microbes as only causing disease. If we tried to remove all the microbes from humans, the human population on this earth would not last very long.
So given all of that, is this a frontier here of science? How much do we know that we don't know about the microbial world?
So what we know is from years ago when I was a student, so 50 years ago when I was a student in college, we would learn, and we still teach students about organisms that we can culture, we can isolate and grow in the lab. We can now do genomics and figure out the blueprints of the organism that are there in different communities, whether it's the ocean or the soil or an animal or human, by sequencing them without ever having to isolate them. But that's basically taking a census of who's there. It's like going to Central Park. I'm from New York City, so that's my favorite analogy, and seeing who's walking around in the park, but you don't really know what they're doing for the park environment of New York City by just seeing who's there. And so this initiative is really an international call by the community, in partnership to some extent with federal funding agencies, to figure out what all those people walking in Central Park are doing, who the good ones are, and then who the bad ones are, and then what can you do to try and figure out how to promote certain activities that, again, benefit plants or benefit climate or benefit human development as we move forward.
And I understand this Unified Microbiome Initiative. The idea here is that, this team's researching this over here, this team's over here. They're kind of in silos. They're not knowing what everybody else is doing. And then there's people who are studying problems. They're not studying the microbiome at all. They're studying energy or hunger or things like that, trying to get all these people together to figure out how they can help each other.
And so I'm trained as a traditional microbiologist. My PhD is in microbiology, and I'm in a bacteriology department here. What we really need is several things. The first is we need to bring more people into the tent of this field. We need chemists. We need analytical techniques. We need imaging. We need computational people to help us analyze these complex problems of what all the microbes are doing, if you will, again, if you go back, as they're walking through Central Park. And that requires different skill sets, and it requires, in some cases, coordinated and team activities. And so we want to figure out how to enable that activity with the idea that certain things are going to be critical, whether you're studying how the GI tract of a human impacts brain development or disease, or how the soil microbes impact crop yields, or how ocean or lake microbes impact CO2 fixation and therefore climate change.
Talking to Tim Donahue from UW-Madison. He's a bacteriology professor, director of the Great Lakes Bioenergy Research Center, and he's part of this proposal to have a unified microbiome initiative to help us better harness the microscopic world to help us solve a lot of our problems. Let's get into some of those problems now, Tim. Your main area of research, energy. What are some of the ideas that could help us solve our energy problems via microbes?
So, again, from this census taking, we know a lot about the genetic potential that lives in all of the sequenced genomes of these microbes. And that provides an enormous opportunity for us to look at blueprints of these organisms and see how we could piece them together, either in isolation or in what I'll call communities or microbiome. Most of what you see out there in the microbiome, if you pick up even the Washington Post or the New York Times or the Chicago Tribune, monthly, weekly, you're starting to see microbiome articles, but they're really talking about humans. In my field, microbiome or the Unified Microbiome Initiative is really talking about microbes working together in communities to do things. So, to give you some examples, we do that currently as a society. We use microbes to make wine, and sometimes when we make wine, it's only yeast, but sometimes it's a combination of yeast and bacteria working in community to give us a certain flavor. We're in Wisconsin. We do this in cheese, right?
And beer.
And beer. Beer is mostly a yeast fermentation, if I talk to my friends at MillerCoors, but there are certain types of beer that it's nice to have a friendly a bacterium in there with the yeast to give you a certain hoppy or other type of flavor. There are vitamins that industry makes that are made by consortia, groups of two or three organisms that are purposely mixed together, and one helps the other, just like a family. Take the food and create a product. So in the energy space, we want to make fuels and we want to make chemicals in a green way to replace things that are currently derived from fossil fuels. And we can already do a lot of things with isolated organisms or with creating or engineering pathways in organisms. I think if we look back 10 or 15 or 20 years from now, we're going to see that these things that we're working on in isolation, we're going to put together to make chemicals and fuels, just like we make cheese and beer and certain types of bread.
So it could be a yeast here, a bacteria there that helps convert, I don't know, manure into a usable fuel.
Sure, or the non-edible parts of plants, like a corn stalk, into fuels and chemicals to create jobs in Wisconsin and Iowa and the greater Midwest. Absolutely. That's where we're going. I can't give you the specifics. Right now, it's kind of like a gleam in my eye or a dream of where we need to go. We're building the foundational technology, and with an initiative like this, we hope that it will catalyze or allow us to get there faster.
And some of your colleagues who have signed on to this idea of this microbiome initiative, they're dreaming not about energy, but about feeding the world.
They're dreaming about feeding the world. Wisconsin is a leader in something that we've been doing for over a century now, and that is a lot of times when farmers plant corn or other crops, they add so-called mystery inoculants to them to help them fix nitrogen from the atmosphere in the soil. And those are bacterial species that were isolated over 100 years ago, and we still add them to the soil.
Wait, I got to ask, what's the mystery part? We don't know how they do what they do?
No, we know how they do, but, okay. You know, not to insult our farmers, but they buy these products, and they really don't know what they are, but I know what they are.
Okay.
Right? Others are very interested in this in the field of marine microbiology, because in the oceans fix most of the CO2 that are actually sequestered on the planet. And that's critical for climate change and global warming. And we want to know who's doing it, and to the extent that we can, without disturbing the ocean ecosystem and coral reefs and fish populations, how could we control that to help mitigate what human activity is doing to climate change?
So I want to go back, you know, 70-some years ago, we had these glorified adding machines we were calling computers,
yep.
and now we're carrying way more powerful computers in our pockets, our watches, right. There's the internet. Are we at that stage now where we're just at the dawn of a new age of biome research?
I really think we are, and so maybe not 70 years ago, but 30 years ago, when I was a young faculty member here, we were talking about sequencing the human genome mm-hmm. and using that to help solve disease. Well, you know, we now know there are more genes in your body that are of microbial origin than there are of human origin. And I think we're going to look back and say, we now know that everything from development when you're born to maturity as you become an adult, to aging and immune function and Alzheimer's disease is really can be driven by the activities of the microbes on your skin, in your mouth, and in your gut. And hopefully we're going to be able to figure that out and really look back at this time as being a critical time.
I'm hearing a lot of excitement. I think part of that's you, but it sounds like it's also an exciting time to do the work you're doing.
It's an exciting time. As you said, this is an international activity. You, I think, picked up a paper that was published in Science magazine. There was a companion paper by European and Asian rim scientists, as well as U.S. scientists, published in Nature magazine the same day. Coordination like you've never seen before. And the federal government, despite the budget situation that we're in, has queried over a dozen federal agencies who would love to invest in this field if we could find the money to do it, given what's going on.
Tim, thanks a lot for sharing this with us today.
Thanks for having me here, and I'd love to come back before I go under the ground to feed the microbes and tell you what exciting things we've done.
That sounds great. That's Tim Donahue. He's a professor of bacteriology and director of the Great Lakes Bioenergy Research Center at UW-Madison.